everyone. Welcome to another edition of Zero Hour. Today, we will be covering DerpyCon. With me on the show is Lee May. Say hi, Lee.
Hi, everyone.
And yeah, tell us about DerpyCon. And Lee is our East Coast rep at Scarlet Rhapsody. And yeah, just tell us about DerpyCon.
Yeah, so this is my first time attending, and I wasn't able to go on the Friday since I was working that day, but I traveled there on Saturday morning. I got there around noon, and the first thing I noticed is that the hotel was in a really convenient location. Where the con was actually like about a 10-minute walk from the train station.
Oh, that's nice.
And so I saw like a lot of other people, like, you know, you could tell they're congoers, you know, with their suitcases, some in cosplay, some not, but people walking from train station there. And it was cold, but, you know, it was pretty conveniently located.
Like, how cold are we talking here? So, like, most of our audience, they consider cold being 40, 50 degrees out here on the West Coast.
Yeah, this was, well, on the Saturday, it wasn't as cold. It actually started snowing on the Sunday.
Oh, wow.
So there was snow falling, and Sunday was a lot worse. But on Saturday, it was probably maybe 30 or 40, I guess.
Okay, that's not too bad.
But then Sunday was when it felt more like 20 or less, or at least to me, because of the snow. And the wind chill was bad on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I remember that East Coast wind chill just really stings your skin if you're not wearing the proper layering.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Where is DerpyCon on the Mid-Atlantic? It's in New Jersey, right?
Yeah, it's in Morristown, New Jersey.
Okay.
So it's like a big-ish town. Like, it's not a city, but it's not like a tiny town either. Like, where it's located, as I said, it's like 10 minutes from the train station from New Jersey Transit. There's a lot of good food choices and walking distance, so you don't have to eat at the con, you know what I mean? Like, there's con food and hotel food, which is obviously pricier. We go outside, like, on the Saturday for lunch. I walked across the street, and there was a Chinese restaurant across the street that was pretty cheap.
Yeah, that's really good, because I always, like, value cons that pick their locations and areas where, like, it's easy to get food anytime you want, because I had that problem with KrakenCon a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, yeah, you're in downtown Oakland, and you kind of don't want to be in downtown Oakland after certain hours, and even though we were in the gentrified part of town, a lot of things closed early, so the only option really had was a hotel restaurant, and even I didn't think they had, like, a lot to offer. But it's good to know that, like, this con is that it seems like a decent location where there's, like, plenty of food choices, because that, to me, is also an important part of, like, con life and the con's culture itself.
Of course, yeah. Because you don't want to be stuck with, like, not that many choices for food, especially people with dietary restrictions, you know? Sometimes the hotel food options may not be, like, the best.
But right.
Also price-wise, because I actually ate at the hotel place, like, the hotel restaurant that was there on Sunday for lunch. It was more like a winner, I guess. It was, like, a really late lunch. And the hotel food was good, too, but it was just pricey. You know, I think it was $15 for a burger.
Yeah, that sounds about right for a hotel burger.
Yeah, it was a good burger. I mean, like, it was more expensive than what I would normally pay.
Yeah, so let's just kind of, like, just talk about the con. So DerpyCon, that sounds like it's, like, a more pop culture kind of convention than an anime convention. Am I right?
Yeah, definitely. It's, like, multi-fandom. So what I noticed is there's, you know, there's a lot of anime there, too, but there's a lot of comics. You know, there's, you know, superheroes, Marvel, DC, I saw, but also Homestuck, My Little Pony, Disney. So there's a whole variety of different pop culture aspects.
Okay.
And also fashion, too. There was also, like, a J fashion scene going on there, which is cool.
Oh, that's awesome. So, like, what kind of events did you check out at DerpyCon?
So at DerpyCon, I went to their cosplay showcase on Saturday, which is cool. It's, like, their version of the Masquerade.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty fun. It was pretty intimate. Like, it's not, the event space was a good size, but it wasn't huge like you would see, you know, at Anime Boston or at Otakon. So the space felt more intimate in a way.
So this was like more of a smaller kind of con, like a hotel kind of con, rather than like a convention kind of con.
Definitely, because this was in a hotel. But it was actually bigger than I expected, though, because the first few hours I was there, I was kind of getting lost trying to find my way around. The hotel had a pretty big space. And it was also connected to a mall, kind of, like, not really, like, that part was, like, blocked off, but I almost wandered to the wrong area. But with the cosplay showcase, what was cool is they had, you know, skits as well as walk-ons, and the skits were all really fun. Like, even the ones that I, like, with the fandoms I wasn't familiar with, they were still enjoyable, so I think the cosplayers did a great job of that. And my favorite skit that was a Love Live Sunshine one.
Oh, that's adorable.
It was a dance, like, lip sync skit. It was cute. There's also a really good Miraculous Ladybug one, which I'm not as familiar with. Like, I know what it is, and I want to watch it in French. I just haven't gone around to it. But they did really cool sort of gender bend Ladybug and Chat Noir cosplays.
Yeah, that's one series I've been meaning to watch because I hear it's like a hybrid of like different animation studios worldwide. And because I speak a little bit of French, I kind of want to watch it just so I can see like, oh, I understand this much French.
I know, I want to watch it in French too, but I heard it's really hard to find it in French. But obviously they have the English dub too. So I think around here it's quite easier to find the English dub.
That's true, but I just want to see the French dub because I like watching things dubbed in different languages, especially languages that I'm familiar with.
Yeah, and it takes place in Paris, too.
Oh, excellent day. Mm-hmm.
So that was really cute. And then, you know, at the end, actually, when they're giving prizes, one of the prizes they gave out was a weekend pass to DerbyCon next year, which that was really cool. And the person who won was someone who, I forgot what stage she was. That was a raffle, not the contest. But the end of the cosplay showcase, they had like a raffle, so everyone who came to watch got a raffle ticket.
Excellent.
So like, you know, I had one, everyone around me had one, so they called it out, and the grand prize was like a free ticket for next year, which I thought was cool. So it's like an incentive, you know, to get people involved, and I thought that was a good way to make sure people would, you know, come to the thing and come participate in the event. And I thought the crowd was really nice too. Like, everyone was really supportive of the people who were competing, so you know, there's always applause and things like that.
Yeah, that's always nice when you have a crowd that is very encouraging and just like sends positive vibes to the stage rather. Because I've been to cons where people heckle cosplayers, whether it be on like Snapchat or whatever. It's like, come on, people, show some support for your cosplayers.
Yeah, this was definitely a supportive crowd. Like, everyone was like cheering. There was actually someone behind me in the row behind me who was really like screaming for everyone. And I wasn't sure if they were all her friends or she was just really like supportive for everyone. But either way, it was great.
That's great. So what other things did DerbyCon have that you were able to check out?
Oh, so the cosplay showcase was one event I went to.
Mm-hmm.
And I also went to a pretty cool panel on Saturday that was on J fashion for plus sized fans, which was really cool.
Oh, that's interesting. So, did they talk about like different places to shop?
Unruh Designs. Do you know the designer for Unruh Designs?
No, you had to send that to me.
Okay, yeah. So she makes a lot of cool jewelry. She also sews like cute clothes or like fairy cane inspired, some Lolita inspired, a lot of really cute pastel jewelry and things like that. And she did a panel. She did like a 2-part panel. So I went to the second one. So she did one earlier and then one later. And I missed the one that was earlier. Then the second one, she played this fun game with the audience, which is like, guess where this fabric came from. So she had like fabrics, different fabric samples, and you had to guess. And we should say, for example, one of these came from Joanne's, and the other one came from the Garment District. And there's this, you know, stereotype that the ones from Garment District would be a lot better quality. But we found that the one from Joanne's that she had the sample, it was actually like a much nicer fabric. So sort of showing how you shouldn't make assumptions, you know, about where the sources are, because you could find a really good fabric somewhere else. And also, you know, like which one was an imported design versus one that came from US. So it was really cool seeing, you know, and people were guessing, you know, where they thought it was from.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and she had one fabric we had to guess the price of. It was so expensive. But it was because it had real Swarovski crystals in it.
How much was it going for? I'm going to guess like maybe $50 a pop.
No, it was more. It was like 100, I think.
Oh, man.
It was 100 a yard, I think, or 100 something a yard. It was at least 100 a yard.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was one expensive fabric. But yeah, that was a really fun game that she played, and it was really cool seeing all like the J fashion fans there.
Oh, that's amazing.
I met some of our Lolitas there too, which is cool because I wore Lolita fashion.
Oh, tell me about what cord you wore.
Okay, so the cord I wore was one of my favorite pieces, which is a Sweet Mildred dress. It's like a book print one.
Oh yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
I wore that for the first time, actually.
Yeah, I love Sweet Mildred stuff. She's also an independent designer. For those of you tuning in, love her.
She's amazing, and like I wore her a newer piece that I bought from her as a headdress. It has King Lear, like a mini book for Shakespeare's King Lear, like on the headdress with feathers and such.
Excellent.
So, like, book themed, and I had Alice in Pirates book bags. It's very much like bookworm themed.
Oh, that's amazing. And there's like this, I can't pronounce the name correctly. It's the Hainuli Library Prints. I'm like, I want that print so bad.
I know. I love book prints. I need another book print. I only have the Sweet Mildred one.
Yeah, off topic, but when I was at Angelic Pretty a couple days ago, I caved in and bought the Princess Cat JSK.
This cat's really pretty.
It's fluffy cat sitting on fancy couches. I need this in my life. And the magic head bow.
Oh my gosh, that's great. Mm-hmm. And I met a lady named Amy there who's really cool, and she was wearing an Angelic Pretty collaboration with Little Twin Stars. It was really cute.
Oh, I love their collabs.
Mm-hmm. It was a really cute collab. I was like, oh my gosh. And it was cool because she cosplays too, and she told me she had cosplayed Little Twin Stars before as well. So,
oh my god, that's like old school Sanrio, Little Twin Stars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, on Saturday night, I went to the Voltaire concert. I missed the beginning, but I saw like the middle chunk. I had to leave early. But what I saw was like amazing. It was my second time seeing Voltaire live.
Yeah, I keep hearing good things about Voltaire. Can you tell the audience a little bit more about who Voltaire is?
Yeah, so Voltaire is an alternative singer. He's a musician, artist, and he's very much in like the alternative culture and into alternative fashion. And, you know, a lot of his songs kind of sing about, like, tell stories. It depends on what song, obviously, but some of them will tell stories more like, it reminds me almost of an opera, you know, like it's really like a tale of adventure or like something that's more allegory. But they're really interesting stories as music. And so it's like one side of it. And another side is like more about his experiences, but also a lot of us have the same experiences as him. The idea of, you know, not feeling you fit in because you're in alternative culture. Like, he has a song called Raised by Bats, which I like a lot, which he performs that night too. And it's kind of the idea of, like, when people are asking you, you know, why are you dressed like that? Or, like, what are you doing? You're just like, well, I was raised by bats, because you're like, why do I need to explain my choices to you?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing with, like, and, like, he has a great stage presence all times. And he, like, played guitar live and was singing. He had a really cool outfit. And he actually shared a really touching story. And I saw a lot of people in the audience actually crying. Like, it was really moving. And his story was about when he actually was going to commit suicide.
Aww.
And what made him realize, like, that life is still worth living.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his story was really, you know, relatable, because what happened was he decided on a day he would kill himself. And he was telling audience, you know, that day I went out and I figured that since I'm going to die soon, like, I don't have anything to fear. So that was the first time he stood up to bullies, like, you know, students at school who bullied him and, like, a teacher who was treating him badly. But he realized when he stood up for himself, like, nothing terrible happened.
Wow.
Like, after he stood up for himself, it's fine. So at the end of the day, he was like, well, I'm going to live another day and see if I keep standing up for myself, the same thing happens. And after that, he's like, and look at me today, I still haven't killed myself yet. And that just got put on hold forever. It was sort of like the idea of, because he resigned himself to death, he didn't have that fear anymore of what would happen. And then after that, he said he's never let anyone disrespect him again.
Yeah.
And that's how he's lived his life since then, which is, like, really inspiring.
Yeah, that must have been amazing. I think I would just, like, feel all the feels if I heard that, if I was in the audience.
I know, a lot of people were crying. I was tearing up, and it was, yeah. And then it was also really cute, too. He made a funny joke about, because his son just got into college, and he was like, guys, I'm going to sell my CDs at, like, $1,000 each to help pay for my son's college education.
Oh, now that's true fatherhood right there.
Just like, yep, that college struggle.
Indeed.
Yeah, but his son got into a really good school, though, for film, actually.
Oh, which one?
Which is cool. I feel bad. I forgot. It's in California. Is it Berkeley, maybe?
Berkeley doesn't do film.
Video game.
Oh, there's a lot. There's some, I could name a lot off the top of my head. Loyola Marymount, UC Santa Cruz, Irvine.
Like known for film, but his son's gone to, like, they're really...
Chapman's also one of them. Jared, our one of our copy editors, is from Chapman.
I don't remember which one he had said, but he sent his son gone for video game design, but it was a really selective program, like a very competitive program.
It's either USC. It has to be USC. Because they only let like 20 people in their video game design program, and that's also
he said it was really selective. And,
yeah, and
it was really cute. He was like, bragging about it, like, oh my god, my son got it. It was really cute.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, his son's a Trojan. That's awesome.
Yeah, and yeah, it's great. And he always has, really lively stage presence and gets the crowd pumping, and everyone is like singing along too. So it was a fun time.
Oh, excellent. Were there any other events at DerpyCon that you were able to check out?
Event-wise, no, but well, unless you count, I saw like a photo shoot for free,
Oh yeah, tell me
but
more about
at the
that.
gathering. But it was kind of strange because I think the person running it didn't show up.
Oh.
So it was like I was there and I was like offering to take pictures for people, and the costumers were all there, and everyone's kind of confused, like who's in charge? And the person who's in charge wasn't there. So we just sort of this impromptu shoot thing, like, oh well, we can still do it, like everyone's here.
Oh, that works.
So I mean, there was a lot of free cosplayers. It was cute, and then and I wasn't cosplaying free, but I was taking pictures of them. And this was on Sunday, and everyone was really cute. And actually, the same Lolita that I met on Saturday, on Sunday she was cosplaying Rey, and she had like the best Ida bag.
Oh
It
my
was like
goodness.
covered in Issa Rae. It was like the OTP bag, double sided, tons of stuff. It was really cool.
Yeah, if I ever get around like making an Ida bag, I really need to make one for Mickey and Sarah from Yuri on Ice. Go
Oh
Team
my god,
Italy.
really? Oh, you got to nervous. Oh, I saw a Victor cosplayer at DerpyCon actually, who actually braved the cold outside for photos. Like, saw outside of the window, and
Oh
it
wow.
was Victor outside doing a photo shoot in like the snow. I'm just like, oh my gosh, so much respect.
And to make matters worse, I don't know if you've seen this floating around, but there are Love Live ice skating variations now. They just released the cards for them like this morning.
Oh my gosh, really? I didn't know that. Well, right now they're the skating competition, like the real life one's going on right now. It's the season.
Yeah, so I'm like looking
Oh, I
at,
didn't
because they
know
only
that.
released Dia and some other chick. I forgot her name.
Oh, from Sunshine?
Yeah, from Sunshine.
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen the cards yet, but that sounds cool.
But yeah, I'll get to you whenever it does. It's like, oh my God, skating craze. I need more Yuri and Ice in
I
my
know. Okay, I actually started watching it really late. Like, it was during Thanksgiving when I watched it.
I was marathoning it through it last weekend, and thank goodness I decided to marathon through it because watching it week after week would have killed me.
Oh my gosh. No, because at DerbyCon, I hadn't seen Yuri on Ice yet, but I recognized, I've seen a lot of people cosplaying it in fan art, so I was like, wait, it's a Victor cosplayer. But I didn't really know what Yuri on Ice was all about, and I didn't realize like how it was like, I don't know, when I watched it, it wasn't really what I expected.
Yeah, same here. I thought it would just be like free, but like with ice skating.
What I thought. Well, I just thought it'd be more, I guess I thought it'd be more about the sport, I guess, like from my impression, because when I saw the preview, it looked like it'd be mostly focused on sport, and it's about the sport, the sports anime, but it had more, when I watched it, like more, like I guess more character development, like more deep character development than I thought it would have.
I was quite surprised too because I think it really meets that balance of like you're following this guy and his relationship with one of his mentors slash idol, and at the same time you're also going through the motions of competition between colleagues and competition between others. And my personal favorite part of Yuri on Ice is just seeing like all the different routines. Oh my God, the music, the soundtrack is just amazing. I've
Yeah,
been
oh,
listening
I love
to
the
my commute
soundtrack.
every morning. But anyways, we're getting kind of sidetracked. My
Getting
apologies.
sidetracked.
But Yuri on Ice is
It's
awesome.
all
Go
right.
get you guys, if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's You'll be
Yeah.
impressed. You'll be in
Oh,
love.
also, one more plug for Yuri on Ice, though. It's the first time I've seen like an American character represented who's not like some blonde, blue-eyed person.
Yes, I also
So,
noticed that too. Like Leo de Inglesia. I'm like, oh.
like, oh my gosh, yes.
But anywho,
Back to DerbyCon, though.
yes, back to DerpyCon. Was there like a
Okay.
dealer's hall, artist alley type
Yeah, there
thing?
was. There was like a Jailer's Hall artist alley, like kind of in the same room. It's like a hallway you go into, and then walk through this narrow hallway, and then it leads to like where all the dealers and artists are. And it was a pretty good variety. Like, there was a lot of merchandise. There was also J Fashion. There was actually a lot of J Fashion. There was a vendor that was selling a lot of like Taobao. It looked like there was some Taobao, like different sort of Gyaru and Mori style clothing and some of the latest stuff. And then there was, Anime Designs. There was Candyholic. Actually was sort of rooming with Candyholic, designer Bianca, and it was her friend who let us stay over, so we stayed over her house on Saturday night. But yeah, there was a lot of different boosters, fan art, different merchandise, there was jewelry, there was a lot of stuff.
Oh, excellent.
And I met some other people who are into J Fashion too. There were some people, we had a little mini circle at one point in Dillard's, so I was talking about J Fashion, which is pretty cool. And someone was like, oh, I really want to get into OG, but I don't know where to start. So we exchange tips and stuff for where to find good secondhand deals.
Oh, that's amazing. Did you buy anything in a dealer's hall or at Artist Alley?
Yeah, I bought something from Candyholic. I got a cute little hair clip thing. It has like a pony on it, and then it with danglies, with the moon and star dangling
Excellent.
from the pony. Yeah, it's like pastel blue and pink. And I clipped it into my ponytails. I was cosplaying like casual Hanukkah, so when I bought it, I just put it into my ponytail.
Yeah, speaking of cosplay, what did you wear at Derpy Gun?
So I kept it really simple since it was kind of a last minute sort of plan. And also with traveling, like on the subway and then the train, I just didn't want to deal with too much stuff to bring with
I
me.
don't blame you.
So on Saturday, I wore Lolita. And then Sunday, it was casual Hanukkah. So really simple.
Yeah, it seems to me like the vibe of this con seems pretty chill. How would you describe the social atmosphere of DerpyCon?
The social atmosphere actually reminded me of another anime con. So really friendly. Staff is friendly, people are friendly. Actually, staff was really chill. I remember when I was cosplaying Hanukkah, the photographer wanted to grab some shots, and we asked staff, could we go behind you? Because where the registration desk was, behind they had a cool waterfall thing. And then the staff was like, oh, sure, go ahead. They were like, oh, thank you for asking. And they said some people just went behind without even asking, just started taking pictures. So they were like, oh, we appreciate you asking. Yeah, that's fine. And the photographer was surprised because he was like, I thought they'd say no. Usually they don't want you to go behind the registration table to go do stuff. But they're all really chill. And then obviously, I made new friends there. I made some new friends there, but from there's all like Lolita I met who also cosplays Rey. And then there was someone I met on Sunday, right before I had to leave, actually, who was cosplaying from Mystic Messenger and is actually into Dianoise and freaked out. I was like screaming. It was bad. It was like, finally, another Dino-Ace fan. Oh, so that was really cool.
So, anything else you want to mention about DerpyCon? Any other things to check out? Any other stories from DerpyCon?
Yeah, so stories. The line. The line to get into the cosplay showcase was an interesting story. So, where the line was, it's kind of curved around hallways. They had a lot of other rooms set up. So there's panel rooms, there's other sort of, I don't think they're panels, they're more like event rooms. They had something set up for a festival, sort of like a, they had it set up with Japanese festival games, when you fish up goldfish and things like that. And that was a room that I discovered when I was looking for the line for the cosplay showcase, actually. And I was like, what's this? And actually, it's the people who run a con too, and they had set it up there just to sort of have games that people could play. You'd have to buy tickets and play the games and prizes. So you exchange tickets for prizes, kind of like an arcade, but nothing electric. All the games were tossing bags into the mouth of the demon or fishing up the goldfish and other games sort of like that, which is cool. And yeah, so that, and then the line, but the actual line for the cosplay showcase, it was just kind of funny because everyone's waiting in line and kind of chatting. And where I was standing for most of the line was kind of right in front of a trash can. So it was really awkward because everyone was trying to throw away trash and awkwardly step out and be like, I'm still in line, I'm still in line. So it's one of my random memories. I feel like it's kind of funny. It was just like, why me? Why am I stuck right next to a trash can
Oh
with a lot of
no.
trash?
So, would you say this was worth the trip coming out from New York, taking a subway to a train, and going across the street for DerbyCon? Would you say the con was worth the weekend?
Definitely worth the weekend. I thought it was a great con. I like the location a lot, and it's a lot the environment is really friendly, and I thought that the vibe there I got was really friendly too. It was one of those things when I'm walking around alone, I don't feel lonely. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of times where I'm at a large con, it's like, you know what? I kind of wish I knew people here. Hashtag San Diego Comic Con. And there are other cons where I feel yeah, I might be alone at times, but I know I can hit up a couple of friends because I know where they are. Hashtag Kraken Con.
Yeah, so it's definitely one of those things when I was afraid that I don't really know anyone. I'd feel lonely, like, all by myself. It's awkward, but it wasn't awkward at all. Like, even walking around by myself, it's like, even if I'm not with, like, a friend or talking to someone, I felt perfectly fine wandering by myself, exploring the hallways, you know, taking photos of people or checking out what's in the dealer's room, in the panels, et cetera. They also had a gaming room, too, which I wandered into when I was alone at one point. But, you know, like, if I do want to talk to someone, I didn't feel awkward to just say hi to someone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there were also, like, I actually saw some other friends there that I didn't know were there until, like, I realized it. I'm like, wait, you.
Oh, I know you. Speaking of fandoms, what fandoms were mostly represented at DerpyCon?
I actually saw a lot of Mystic Messenger, which was interesting. I didn't expect to see that many, but there was multiple groups, like full groups running around from Mystic Messenger.
Yeah, that's getting pretty popular. Like, yeah. In fact, like two of our people from Scarlet Rhapsody cosplay as Jumin. Jared
cosplay Jumin, really? The trust fund kid?
Yeah, like two of our people from Scarlet Rhapsody, Jared, he cosplays as Bad Ending Jumin. And then one of our other people, Stan, also cosplays as Good Ending Jumin. If you go to my Instagram, Eri Kagami Sos, I actually have a picture of them side by side, and says one says good ending, the other says bad ending.
Oh my gosh.
So like two people from Scarlet Rhapsody cosplay from it, and it was hilarious. So yeah, there was Mystic Messenger. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, like, I've been playing the game on and off. It's just too much of a commitment for me to play consistently because it's, like, in real time, which is kind of annoying, but it's for the realistic aspect, I guess, because, like, a texting and, you know, there's a chat room and phone calls. But I just remember I got really excited because they had, like, a shoujo Iru because they had, like, a girl, right, Jaehee?
Yeah, I like Jaehee.
But you're getting friend-zoned the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, really? So that was kind of sad. But it's like, we're still together. Who cares? Mm-hmm. It sounds like we're being friends out. Oh, my goodness. But yeah, there's a lot of Mystic Messenger. And then there was also, actually, I saw about quite a few Homestucks, which I haven't seen a lot of lately.
Yeah.
And I saw, what else did I see? I also saw Disney. I saw Disney. I saw a similar Love Live, too. I saw actually quite a bit of Love Live, although Sunshine and Muse. And some, what else? Oh, Attack on Titan. I saw some Attack on Titan.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually quite a bit of Miraculous Ladybug, too.
I know that's getting big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of the name, I would expect that there would be like a spillover of My Little Pony cosplayers, because I know this was originally started by bronies a couple of years ago, because like, yeah, derpy hooves, yeah, but no, derpy has come its own thing now.
Yeah, no, I saw actually a lot of My Little Pony merchandise. Like, there's a lot of merchandise, a lot of art. I saw a lot of pony art and stuff like that. I didn't see that many cosplayers, though, but I saw a lot of merchandise and art for My Little Pony stuff, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's also Yolita's J Fashion. I saw some punks there, so that was cool. And definitely like wide variety of cosplays, you know, like Western and like anime and, you know, the whole mix.
Mm-hmm.
And also people in casual clothes, you know, and people wearing merchandise too. There's, you know, that not everyone was in cosplay, so it was a good mix. I felt people who were there, you know, just for fun, not in cosplay, and people in cosplay or in fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So also a wide variety of age ranges, too. Like, I met people who were, like, really young. Like, it looks like they're in middle school. I met people who were high school, college. I met people older. Someone I met was actually 50. So, you know, there's a wide age range at the con, too, which I liked a lot.
Oh, that's nice. Because I know there was, like, some of these problems that when we go to small cons out here on the West Coast, we kind of have to pick and choose and vet things carefully. Because there was one con I went to called Anime Destiny. I was helping a friend out in Artist Alley, and most of the attendees were like on the younger side. Mm-hmm. I mean, understandable because it's easy. It was an easy location to get to, but I think the only person who was my age were like my friends running the table at Artist Alley.
And, oh, really? That's a bit awkward.
Yeah, no, I don't mind like talking to younger people, telling them about old school anime and like just talk, and you know, like just taking pictures of cosplayers and all. And mm-hmm. But it was like one of those small university run cons, kind of like Conbust. Half the size of Conbust.
No, of course. Yeah, my friends were younger too, and it's like, you know, nice to talk to younger people, but sometimes you want someone your own age, so you're not like, well, I feel like a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, like, sometimes when I'm surrounded by a lot of, like, you know, middle schoolers and stuff, I feel kind of responsible. Like, oh my gosh, I make sure they're okay.
Yeah, exactly. Because that maternal instinct just kind of kicks in.
Yeah, I kind of like, oh no, if something happens.
Mm-hmm. My precious babies. Yeah. So who would you recommend? Would you recommend DerpyCon?
I would recommend DerpyCon people who are like, who are multi fandom. Like for me, like I like a lot of Derp fandoms, like not just anime. So I think you'd really get a lot out of it since you'd be seeing a lot of Derp things. People who like, you know, more intimate cons because it's a smaller con. But it was bigger than I expected. I actually thought it'd be smaller. But the size is pretty good, and you know, there's a lot of stuff to do. Panels going on. The gaming room, like I think there's something for everyone there. So if you're into, you know, many different fandoms and you want like a chill con where you can like meet up with old friends as well as make new friends, it's a great place.
Excellent.
And staff is really nice too. And you know, from what I had a press match, so I didn't like wait in the line for registration. From what I saw, it looked like a reasonable line. Like it didn't look like a line con at all.
Excellent. Yeah. So would you go back to DerpyCon again next year?
Yes, I definitely want to go back again. I don't know if I'd be going back next year, but I'm definitely considering it. I did hear that DerpyCon is at the same time next year as a new anime con in New York.
Oh, there's a new anime con in New York.
It's like, I think it's called Anime Fan Fest, but I know that's also the name of a con in New Jersey. But this one's one that's going to be in the fall at the Javits in New York City.
Whoa. How are they able to pull that off?
I'm not really sure. I just heard about it from someone who had gone to DerpyCon for the first time this year too, and he was like, oh, I checked and it's the same time next year as this new anime con.
I have to look this up because I'm quite curious, because I've always been meaning to like go back, just kind of like just visit New York, and I kind of want to go on an anime or event con type of weekend. But yeah, the last time I went to the Javits Convention Center for an anime con was New York Anime Fest back in 2009, and it was more of an excuse for Jared and I to like just go visit New York for a week, for like a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that just really takes me back.
I'm not sure what the actual name is, but I heard from a friend that it was called Anime Fan Fest, but I'm not sure if maybe it's going to go by a different name. All I know is I heard about it being the same weekend as DerpyCon.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but DerpyCon is definitely something I'd love to go back to.
Excellent. And any other final words on DerpyCon?
Final words, just check it out if you haven't already.
All right.
And check out their website too. Their website's really easy to navigate. So.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you so much for your time, Lee. Always like having you on the show. Thank you.
It's always fun speaking with you.
Excellent. And this has been another edition of Zero Hour. This is Eri Kagami and Lee May talking about DerpyCon. Our next con, I think, will be Otakon Vegas if nothing comes up between now and then. But until then, we shall see you at the con.